last Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us the sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah. To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his immaculate progeny. Brothers and sisters all over the world, assalamu alaikum and welcome to The Last Savior from IRIB English Radio, a series of shows which try to answer your doubts or misconceptions on the concept of Mahdawi or Mahdism or awaiting the Last Savior, which specifically in the school of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam means Imam Al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. For that, we have invited Sheikh Murtada Karimi from Qom Seminary Schools to help us answer the questions or doubts that we pose here. Before starting our discussion, I'd like to welcome Sheikh to the show and thanking him for accepting the invitation. Sheikh, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Sheikh, in our recent shows, we have started a discussion on the different fitnas or tribulations at the time of Akhir al-Zaman, meaning the time before the advent of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. We have referred and mentioned and talked about, let's say, three important fitnas or tribulations, well, the first of which was not obeying the commands of Imam of the time, and second, leaving one of the principles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us to perform, that is, أمر من معروف ونهي عن المنكر, that is, enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. And the third being neglecting the prayers and neglecting performing the prayers in the right time. So it's the time to move to the fourth one. I think it's good and even important and necessary for us, dear brothers and sisters, to know in case we've understood or, let's say, analyze this is the time that we have to be cautious at the time of Akhir al-Zaman to know what our duties are. So let's listen to Sheikh and see what is the fourth fitna or tribulation at the time of Akhir al-Zaman.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Fourth one, again, I think is very applicable today, and we see many examples of it in the lives of the people. I need to again repeat that. By seeing this sign in our time, we are not deciding any time for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. But these narrations are there to tell us that beware not to be at least among such people who are reprimanded by the Prophet and the Imam of the Ahlul Bayt. These people live in Akhir al-Zaman and they are reproached according to these narrations. And of course, we hope that inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasten the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, because we are seeing all these signs, but we are not deciding about any specific time. So this first one is what we call it, doing israf or extravagance and living a luxury oriented life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that even when it comes to paying charity or infaq, we should not go to extreme. And pay all money that you have in charity, then for example you deprive yourself and your family members from the minimum means for life. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا. This is very interesting. Allah admires the people who, when they pay charity, even they do not do israf. وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا. They also do not go to the other extreme. وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا.
So moderation is always actually valued and excellent. There.
Exactly. I can also refer to Ghafir 28, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي مَنْ هُوَ مُسْرِفٌ كَذَّابٌ. Ghafir 34, كَذَلِكَ يُضِلُ اللَّهُ مَنْ هُوَ مُسْرِفٌ مُرْتَابٌ. And Al-An'am 141, لَا تُسْرِفُوا إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. Another verse in the Quran which has a threatening tone is that وَأَنَّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ هُمْ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ. These people are the intimate of the hellfire. Chapter Ghafir, verse 43, and وَلَا تُتِيعُوا أَمْرَ Musrifin, chapter Ash-Shu'ara, verse 151. These are some of the famous narrations in the Noble Book of Quran which asking Muslims to be away from extravagance.
We are still talking about the trials and tribulations before the advent of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, the last savior.
I know I'm waiting for something, something to happen to me. But this waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
What is the fifth fitna at the time of Akhir Zaman? And if you tell us, Sheikh, in general, how many fitnas have been mentioned in a hadith?
When it comes to the number, we have different narrations. In some of them, maybe even we have more than 40 fitnas as mentioned for Akhir Zaman, but we are only dealing with the most important ones. So the next one is related to the scholars, to the knowledge and to the teachers of knowledge. The Holy Prophet is quoted as saying that in Akhir Zaman, Ya'lu Sibyan Al Manabir. The kids, they go on the pulpits. We know Manabir is a symbol of a place for teaching religious teachings. I think as Sibyan, kids or children in this narration doesn't refer to children by age. Rather, it is referring to any person who is not
knowledgeable.
Who is not knowledgeable, who is not liable, who doesn't have the capacity and is not competent enough to go on the pulpit and teach the people about the religion. This has been mentioned in other narration. For example, in another narration, it's been mentioned that يَتَكَلَّمُ مَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ مُتَعَلِّمًا. In Akhir Zaman, you find some people who talk to people, try to teach the people while they have not learned themselves. So it's very important, especially when it comes to the religious teachings and doctrines, the fact that, first of all, those who want to preach in any time, especially in Akhir Zaman, they need to be, first of all, knowledgeable enough themselves.
Yeah.
The next point is about the intention of the scholars and the teachers of religion in Akhir Zaman. According to another narration, the Holy Prophet is quoted as saying that يَتَعَلَّمُونَ الْقُرْآنَ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ and يَتَفَقَّهُونَ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. This is also very interesting.
Yeah.
The fact that you may find some people in Akhir Zaman that they learn the Quran but not for the sake of God. They even go and learn their religion but not for the sake of God. Maybe they want to teach the people to get reputation among the people, or gain, for example, wealth and property, which is very dangerous. And according to some narrations, people are not allowed to gain properties through teaching religion. So this intention is very important, sincerity and ikhlas in learning about religion and teaching the religion is very important. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is quoted as saying, this narration is very powerful and interesting. مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْعِلْمُ وَعَمِلَ بِهِ وَعَلَّمَ لِلَّهِ. A person who, first of all, he learns the knowledge,
yeah,
and then he acts upon that, and then he teaches, but all of them are لله, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. دُعْيَ فِي مَلَكُوتِ السَّمَاوَاتِ عَظِيمًا. He is called in the heavens as a great person. The narration continues. He is called a great person because, first of all, he learned that knowledge for the sake of God. He acted upon that because of God, and then he taught other people for the sake of God. Al-Kafi, volume 1, page 35.
So actually, this point, or this fitna actually refers to that, again, famous Quranic rule, or let's say principle, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَلْ يَسْتَوَى الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. So this refers to this verse of Quran, actually. Allah wants to tell us the importance of knowledge, the importance of ilm. So those who actually have the knowledge and ilm, or the people of knowledge or ilm, are higher and bigger in the words of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam.
For that, I have chosen a few narrations which talk about the features of true scholars of religion. So in our time, if we claim that we have learned the religion and we claim that we are able to teach the people the religion of Islam, we need to see whether we meet these conditions as mentioned in the narrations. Imam Ali al-Salam says that a true scholar, a pious scholar, is the one who does not make people disappointed of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also does not make them be saved from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another example of moderation. To be in a stage between fear and hope.
Very true.
We see that, unfortunately, sometimes a group of scholars, they are famous for giving too much hope to the people. They always talk about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the extent that people just hope for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they take the sins lightly. They say that, okay, we are hopeful for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it's not a big deal if we commit sins. Another group of scholars maybe they only talk about the anger and punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the extent that if a person commits a sin and listen to that scholar, they get disappointed of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the features of the true scholars is to teach the people and guide the people in this way. Not too much hope, not too much fear. The other point, which is very important, especially nowadays, and all the scholars need to be careful about that, especially when we are talking about the scholars in the religion, and that is humility and being away from arrogance.
Very
unfortunately,
true.
We see that some people, both those who learn about religion or other fields of study, feel like arrogant people and proud, and sometimes they boast.
Let's have a short break, inshallah. We shall get back to you and the rest of your explanations about the trials themselves.
A very interesting narration has been quoted regarding Jesus, Prophet Isa alayhi salam. Once he addressed his disciples and told them that, "I have a need, please fulfill my need." They say that, "Of course, Ruhullah, for sure we will fulfill your request and your need." Then Jesus alayhi salam stood up and, according to this narration, washed the feet of his disciples. This is a very, great, strange act in the eyes of those students and disciples. They were surprised and they said that it was our job to do that, Prophet of God. But Isa alayhi salam told them that the one who deserved the most to serve the people is the scholar and the knowledgeable man among the people.
Right.
I think this narration is enough for all the people who claim to be knowledgeable in any field of study. Of course, I'm not talking about washing the feet of the student, but it's a sign of humility before your students.
Very true.
And now Jesus alayhi salam said that, "I showed you this humility so that after me you also practice and show humility regarding other people." This has been mentioned in Al-Kafi, volume 1, page 37.
Maybe.
Because our topic is not that related, I just suffice with one other narration from Imam Ali al-Salam, in which he has referred to some of the signs of a scholar, of a knowledgeable man. And he says that the one feature of him is knowledge, then hilm, to be patient enough, especially when it comes to ignorant people.
Yeah.
And third, samt, what we call it, silenced, of course, being away from talkativeness and saying unnecessary things. So these are some of the features for the true scholars as mentioned by the Imam of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi
salam. Many thanks, dear brother Sheikh Murtada Karimi, for your enlightening answers to the questions that were posed. So the last sign or the last fitna or tribulation or trial that we have covered in this session, which will be shown or will happen at the time of Akhir al-Zaman, the time before the advent of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, the last savior, is that those scholars who deserve to be leading the Muslim communities are not actually put in their right place, and those who are not knowledgeable actually take their places. So this is what we have ended our discussion, and actually we have talked about the importance of knowledge and ilm and the value of a scholar in an Islamic environment to end this show with. Well, I'd like to thank again, respected brothers and sisters, for your listening and joining us with this show. I hope you enjoyed it and you will join us again in our upcoming session, where we shall continue trials and tribulations or fitness of Akhir al-Zaman, inshallah. Till then, I leave you in Allah's protection. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.